Welcome to Air Quality Matters. I wanted to talk to you about four things this week on the podcast. The first one is a couple of milestones for me personally and the consultancy, but also the podcast and some exciting news coming out on that, I think. I wanted to talk a little bit about vulnerable homeowners and ventilation, the healthy buildings barometer, and finally, something for your diary in October. I moved to Ireland nearly 20 years ago this month. It's amazing how time goes by, and it got me thinking about some of these milestones. And Air Quality Matters, the consultancy, just made it through its first year. I can't believe it. And what a year. I can't thank my customers enough for their support and trust over this first year. And it's made all the difference for this first year of trading, as anybody that set up a business knows. And as with many businesses like this, you kind of set off with what you think the market needs and what you want to do or enjoy. And over the year, that vision has to be refined and honed. So where have I ended up? What am I doing? Well, you can put it into three pillars, I suppose. The first piece, as you'd imagine, is really consultancy, strategy and advice on ventilation and air quality. That's the core of what the consultancy does. I'm a domain expert, an advisor to people, a strategist, and even a shoulder to cry on. It's all been there in this first year, I can tell you. And the second pillar really is communication, helping people and organizations communicate on this wonderful and complicated world that is air quality in the built environment. And the third pillar has been really a whole mixed bunch of things, from management consultancy to product development, to all sorts of really interesting side projects. A mix through all of those three has been a whole lot of teaching and developing courses and workshops, and that's been a lot of fun. I've worked with and developed a great series of full day and half day courses on ventilation in housing, in the workplace, and just recently in public buildings and more besides. And it's been a whole lot of fun and surprisingly rewarding for me actually teaching, and particularly in the course that I've been lecturing for the Technical University of Shannon, seeing how people have taken that information and learnt and developed their own skills. That has been a real surprise for me. So over the next year, my focus, I think, is going to remain on consulting and helping organisations and bringing them along in achieving better outcomes in air quality and ventilation. There's so much more we can do in this sector, and it's been amazing to see the impact the work that I've been doing has been able to have on some of those organisations. It's cemented for me how truly at sea the sector really is in many places, and how much structure and thought needs to be brought to bear to correct it. And I'm very excited to keep working with existing customers and new clients over the next year. It's really amazing to see the difference you can have. And communication. Boy, have we got to up our game on communication. My passion for this, as with the teaching, quite frankly, has been to translate this area into a language and format that not only makes sense to people and is understandable, but resonates. Expect a lot more from me on communication over the next year, and particularly how we start to communicate risk better. And if you like what you hear on the podcast and want to work with me, don't hesitate to reach out. Always happy to have a chat. And there's some exciting news on the podcast as well. If you've been following it, you'll know it's just been running for over 6 months now. And the response to this idea has quite frankly been overwhelming. I said at the very beginning that air quality matters to me because the quality of the air we breathe is one of the key environmental risks we face. It costs us and our families, our community and the health of our buildings in almost incalculable ways. If you're lucky enough to live to 80 years of age, you will spend close to 70 of those indoors and 55 years of that time in your own home. The impact of our built environment on our long-term health is profound. And it's a problem that requires a paradigm shift in how we think about it, design, manage and resource it, and quite frankly, communicate about it. Better air quality and ventilation in our built environment is a puzzle that will require science and engineering, policy and innovation to solve. And the idea behind this podcast principally was, over the last two decades, I've had the privilege to talk with, and even consider as friends, quite frankly, some of the best minds, innovators and leaders in the field of air quality and ventilation. And my hope with this podcast was to bring some of these conversations to you. Conversations with the people at the heart of the sector, about them and their organisations, what they're working on and where this is all going. And importantly, break these conversations out of their respective echo chambers and to a wider audience. From housing to the workplace and education to healthcare, this is a subject that's important to us all. And in the last 6 months, I think this podcast has done quite well at doing just that. It's amazing, really, but 40 podcasts later, that's 27 episodes, with speakers from all sorts of disciplines and from all over the world, I've been amazed at how gracious with their time some of these people have been to talk to me. And quite frankly, how committed some of you have been to listening. These podcasts, some of them last nearly 2 hours, and that's a real investment of your time listening into this subject. And I really appreciate that. I can't emphasize that enough. Thousands and thousands of hours ensuring these conversations do genuinely break out of their respective echo chambers, their regions and disciplines. So as the podcast has continued to grow, I've spent some time over the last few weeks thinking about what to do with this project next. So I reached out to a few organizations that I trust and asked if they'd like to be a part of this next phase too. So I'm excited to say, from this week and over the next couple of weeks, we're going to announce that I'm partnering up with a handful of sponsors for the show. They are companies that share my passion for healthy buildings and better air quality. And their partnerships with the podcast facilitate its ability to continue to improve and reach new people and bring new interesting and insightful conversations to the show. So watch the feeds and the websites and the show notes over the next few days for the announcements. And can I ask a favour of you? They're great companies doing some great work in the sector. They're not here by accident. And your support of them helps their support of me and building this community. So as I dedicate more time to the show, we'll get out on the road a bit. We'll bring some new guests and some new ideas to it, and importantly, continue to build this amazing community. So get involved. Let me know what you think of the show. Suggest ideas and subjects to discuss. We're slowly building a library of hours and hours of content here that is quite valuable. I already know that the show has been used as part of course content in universities, as it paints a picture of where we are today and the current thinking, the challenges and opportunities of this exciting and dynamic sector. So I say it at the end of every podcast, but genuinely I mean this. Thanks so much for listening. I really appreciate the investment in time you make in listening to the show. So I also wanted to talk about vulnerability. Have you ever had one of those conversations where you're trying to explain what you do or sell or research, whatever it is, and it feels like you're hitting a wall? Well, I had one of those conversations the other day. I was talking to a friend's mum, actually, about her ventilation system. And this got me thinking about how we communicate our work, especially the technical aspects of it, to vulnerable people. What do I mean by vulnerable? Well, according to the Oxford Dictionary, a vulnerable person is someone in need of special care or support or protection due to age or disability or risk of abuse or neglect. In financial circles, vulnerability often relates to the mis-selling of products or services. In the UK, the Financial Conduct Authority defines vulnerable individuals in the context of financial services as age, elderly people who may be more trusting or less aware of current risks and scams, physical or mental health issues, so individuals with disabilities or serious health problems or mental health conditions, life events, so those experiencing significant life events such as bereavement, divorce or unemployment, resilience, individuals with low resilience to shocks, such as those with limited savings or high debt, and capability, people with low financial capability, including those with low literacy or numerical skills, or limited understanding of financial products and services. So why do I bring this up? What does vulnerability mean in the context of this show, Ventilation and Air Quality? Well, I started thinking about people's homes and their understanding or lack thereof of the products and solutions presented to them, which they may have to invest their money or time into using. We often hear from the ground that homeowners don't know how to use ventilation systems properly. Vents are blocked, systems are turned off. How we communicate and the information that we provide plays a massive part in the success and failure of these products. It's a significant jigsaw piece in the puzzle of getting better ventilation and air quality outcomes, particularly in the residential sector. But when I talk about vulnerability in this context, what do I really mean? If someone is not capable or does not have the capacity to understand what is being installed in their home and what they need to do for it to function, are they vulnerable? And where is that line? So for those of us in technical roles, which I'm assuming includes many listeners of this podcast, how many times have we had conversations with someone for the third time about a topic, only to solely realize that they haven't got a clue what we're talking about? If you were selling that as a product to them, are they vulnerable? Where's the line? It must exist somewhere, right? I've spent more time than I care to recall in homes with very poor outcomes, where it is clear that the homeowner has no idea how the system or product actually works. And in many cases, they have handed over good money, or an organization that cannot afford to waste money has facilitated the purchase of a solution that is clearly not fit for purpose. So where is the line of vulnerability? I hope we can all agree that on one side of the line, there are genuinely vulnerable people who spend money on solutions that are not fit for purpose, and their vulnerability has been exploited. On the other side of the line, there are people who simply haven't taken the time or have lacked the bandwidth in some way to understand or comprehend what is being presented to them. But as an industry, based on what I see, there's a conversation to be had about where that line is and how organizations and companies handle it. The concept of vulnerability in the realm of ventilation and air quality is multifaceted. It encompasses not only the physical and mental capacity of individuals to understand complex systems, but also the ethical responsibility of those providing the systems to ensure that they adequately explain and they're suited to the user's needs. In technical fields, especially those involving essential home systems like ventilation, clear communication and education are paramount. Yet the onus often falls on the provider to bridge the gap between technical expertise and layperson understanding. Imagine you're installing a sophisticated ventilation system in the home of an elderly person who may not be technologically savvy. Despite the best intentions, if the person does not comprehend how to operate the system, its benefits are, at worst, nullified. the system could potentially cause harm even. So where do we draw this line? And what do we do? Firstly, it's crucial to recognize that vulnerability isn't static. It can vary based on context and individual circumstances. A person might be perfectly capable of understanding one aspect of their home, but completely out of depth in another. This fluidity requires a flexible approach from those providing services. Secondly, there is a significant ethical dimension to consider. Companies must ensure they are not exploiting vulnerabilities, whether intentional or not. This involves training of staff to identify signs of vulnerability and adapt their communication accordingly. It also means simplifying complex information without patronizing people, ensuring they have access to understandable and actionable guidance. And if all else fails, there are other stakeholders involved that can advocate for that individual. One approach to tackling this issue is through user-friendly design and comprehensive ongoing support. Systems should be intuitive, with clear instructions and accessible customer service. Educational resources such as tutorials and frequently asked questions should be readily available and tailored to various levels of understanding. Most regulations, certainly throughout Europe anyway, insist that proper and concise handover information is provided to people when they take on a ventilation system. Furthermore, feedback loops are essential. Regular check-ins with customers can help identify misunderstandings and misuse early on. This proactive stance not only helps safeguarding the user, but also enhances the customer's reputation for customer care and responsibility. The line of vulnerability in the context of ventilation and air quality is nuanced. I get that, and must be approached with sensitivity and responsibility. As an industry, we need to be vigilant in identifying and supporting vulnerable individuals, ensuring that our products and services are not just fit for purpose, but are also accessible and understandable to all. I wanted to touch briefly on the Healthy Buildings Barometer. Since 2015, the Healthy Homes Barometer has been tracking the state of European Union homes. The 2024 edition has been renamed as the Healthy Buildings Barometer to reflect the fact that it now extends to all major building types, giving us significant insights into our buildings and their users' health. And it's been quite a timely publication this year, because in Europe, we've also had the publication of the Energy Performance of Building Directives recast that does start to deal with indoor environmental quality a little bit more. The Healthy Buildings Barometer is a comprehensive report that provides an overview of the current state of European buildings and their impact on human health, sustainability and resilience. The report aims to guide stakeholders. And by stakeholders, I mean policymakers, investors, and industry professionals in creating buildings that are not only energy efficient, but also promote well-being of their occupants. The report identifies three core messages for policymakers: to accelerate adoption of a comprehensive definition and framework for healthy buildings. Policymakers in the document are encouraged to adopt a clear and comprehensive definition of what constitutes a healthy building. Secondly, to integrate health, sustainability, and resilience into building policy. The report emphasizes the need for policies that go way beyond energy efficiency to include aspects of health, sustainability, and resilience. And thirdly, to prioritise high-quality data collection and cross-functional collaboration. So what does that mean? Well, basically, the report stresses the necessity for consistent and high-quality data collection to monitor the health of buildings over time. So there are some key findings of this report, and you could probably boil them down into principally three, I suppose. The first one is health and well-being. Poor indoor air quality affects one in four Europeans. There is a direct link between building conditions and health outcomes, including mental health and productivity. The second one is energy efficiency and emissions. Buildings account for a significant proportion of energy consumption and greenhouse gas emissions, and the EU is not on track to meet its 2050 climate targets currently. And the third one is renovation needs. The current state of building renovation is just simply insufficient, and accelerated and deeper renovations are necessary to meet the climate and health goals, according to the report. It calls effectively for the immediate political action and integrated policy measures to create buildings that are energy efficient, sustainable, and conducive to occupant health. The report serves, I think, as a guide for achieving the EU's climate goals while improving the quality of life of its citizens. By addressing these aspects, the report aims, in effect, to make healthy buildings the standard across Europe, ensuring that investments in the building sector leads to these triple benefits of enhancing health, environmental sustainability, and economic gains. It's a good report and worth checking out, and of course I'll put it in the show notes. And it is quite timely with the recast of the Energy Performance of Building Directives, EPBD, that was out in the last few weeks. The Healthy Buildings Barometer addresses the latest revision of the EPBD and recognises and emphasises the importance of some of the elements of the directive. One of them is indoor environmental quality standards. The revised EPBD introduces a definition of indoor environmental quality and obliges member states to set requirements for IEQ standards. This is seen as a crucial step, but the report highlights that a comprehensive, strategic approach to ensuring the health of building occupants is still missing. Secondly, the report urges the implementation of new EPBD provisions on indoor environmental quality at a national level. It recommends broadening the scope of the building renovation passport and national building renovation plans and strategies to include IEQ assessments and quality control checks in new builds and renovations. Overall, the Healthy Buildings Barometer aligns its findings and recommendations with the latest revision of the EPBD, emphasising the need for integrated, health-focused building policies and renovation strategy to achieve both climate and indoor environmental quality objectives. Again, I'll pop it in the notes. It's worth checking out. And finally, something for your diary. On October the 9th and 10th this year, the AIVC conference is coming to Dublin. And the home of Gaelic Athletics, Croke Park. For those who don't know the AIVC is the Air Infiltration and Ventilation Centre, and it's the International Energy Agency's Information Centre on Energy Efficient Ventilation. In recognition of the significant impact of ventilation on energy use, combined with the concerns over indoor air quality, the International Energy Agency inaugurated the Air Infiltration and Ventilation Centre in 1979. To be more precise, the AIVC is now one of the annexes running under the Energy in Buildings and Communities Programme, which is one of the implementing agreements of the IEA. The AIVC offers industry and research organisations technical support aimed at optimising ventilation technology, and offers a range of services and facilities, including a comprehensive database on literature standards and ventilation data. In fact, I'll put a link in the show notes. It's well worth checking out the AIVC website, particularly Airbase, where there are literally tens of thousands of documents going back over decades about the state of the art of ventilation and air quality. It really is quite something and worth checking out. So in this world where we're trying to achieve carbon neutrality by 2050, it's imperative to strike a balance that sustains both our environment as well as the health and comfort of individuals inhabiting buildings. Particularly in Europe, considering that 90% of our current buildings are projected to remain in the year 2050, retrofitting the existing building stock is paramount to reaching decarbonisation goals. From the perspective of climate goals, reducing energy use in the built environment via energy retrofit and climate neutral newly constructed buildings are critical. However, it is crucial to prioritise indoor environmental quality when reducing energy use to meet these targets. Well designed and executed retrofits are needed to reduce carbon emissions while reducing healthy indoor environments. Building retrofit professionals, energy conservation experts, ventilation systems designers and installers, and indoor air quality specialists must collaborate on innovative solutions to achieve these objectives. So this year, the conference, which if you've not been to one, is well worth attending, is in Dublin. And it aims to serve as a multidisciplinary platform to address emerging challenges by exchanging cutting-edge ideas, research findings, and policies for industry experience. If you've not been to an AIVC conference, I can highly recommend going to one. And they serve as a multidisciplinary platform to address some of these emerging challenges. The conference will consist of three parallel sessions, as it always does, largely devoted to smart ventilation, indoor air quality and health, building and ductwork air tightness, and ventilative cooling and resilient cooling. I'll read just a few of them for you. Integration of ventilation in building energy retrofits, associated health benefits of energy retrofits, strategies to reduce exposure to outdoor and indoor pollutants, resilient approaches in indoor air quality management, inspection, monitoring, maintenance and reliability and durability of ventilation systems, model-based data analytics and control strategies for smart ventilation, including the role of consumer-grade indoor air quality sensors, and building information modelling, life cycle assessment and ventilation system standards, policies and legislation. I'll share a link, of course. So to wrap up, some great milestones for me and Air Quality Matters this week. And I'm really looking forward to the next phase of this podcast. So again, do go and check out the sponsors as they come online over the next couple of weeks. And I'll talk a little bit more about them and what they do over the next while. Thanks as always for listening. I'm Simon Jones, and this is Air Quality Matters.